Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch under prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability with which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time. We thank you and praise you for just the preciousness of our faith, Lord. And that is all founded upon you and your word. Lord, let us ever just be your humble servants, Lord. Loving one another, Lord. Loving you, Lord. Seeking to please you in all that we do. Lord, I pray as we begin this year, Lord, Father, as the heart of a servant is heavy upon my heart, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would allow me, your servant, to be set aside, Lord, and for you to be glorified. Lord, I pray that this morning that you would let your word come forth, that your spirit would instruct our hearts and guide our lives. Lord, remove me and let your spirit teach. Pray these things in your holy son, Jesus' name. Amen. The title of sermon for this morning, and this will be the last topical we do through this season, and we'll begin in the book next week, but it says, a servant, I'd call it a servant of the king, serves. A servant of the king serves. So for a couple summers many years ago, my little brother, Shauna's little brother, and I worked together fencing. And when I say fencing, I don't mean playing with those flimsy little swords. I mean building fences. In particular, we mainly built 5-strand barbed wire fences for ranches all through the area. And we also built some posts and poles and stuff like that. But it was once while doing some of this fencing south of here at Downey that I witnessed an act of selfishness like I will never forget. We had been working already for about 10 hours that day. We started about 5 a.m. that morning, and we took just breaks long enough to rehydrate throughout the day, and we did not plan to quit until about 8 p.m. that night. We had bid the job that we were doing to last 2 days. This was already our second day, and we were quite wore out already. When we came upon a area down there, and if you're familiar with the Downey area at all, you'll recognize what I'm about to say. But we came to an area down there that was pretty swampy. And we had to stretch the wire across the swamp and place stays in the middle of it. Now, I was so tired because in addition to doing this, I was still working my regular full-time job at 4:10 throughout the week, and I would fence on Fridays and Saturdays, and of course on Sundays I'd be in fellowship. But usually with the drive time, the days on the weekends would last about 17 hours a day, and that being the case, I was getting wore out. This is probably, I think this job was probably one of our third or fourth jobs of the summer, and so we'd already kind of just, I was already tired. So we came to that swampy area, and I looked at that swampy area, and I was just frustrated because we initially tried to step into it, and when you first stepped into it, you would go down about 2 to 2.5 feet into the mud, and it was just miserable conditions. So I remember I expressed to my little brother, I said, let's just go to the other side. There was a way we could drive around that area, that marshy area. Let's go to the other side. We'll build our H braces and N braces over there, and we'll just stretch the wire straight across, and we'll come back and put the stays in later on. He agreed to do so with me. So once we got to the other side and we stretched that fence, we continued out to the corner, and we made that corner, and we had about 400 foot of fence left, and we began to work away at that and went over a rise and on the other side of the hill where I couldn't see the swampy area anymore. But the whole time I was working, I couldn't stop thinking about the fact that we had to go back to that situation, back to that swamp. And honestly, it was wearing on me. It was getting overwhelming. The thought of it was getting overwhelming to me. So at about 5 in the afternoon, we finally went ahead and stopped for about a half an hour for just a quick lunch break. And it was at this point that Gavin said to me, he said, hey, I'm gonna run back to the truck and get something real quick. And I said, that sounds good. About half an hour later, he returned, and I was a little frustrated because he had wasted his entire lunch hour, and I was like, or half hour, and I was like, man, now we have to wait another half an hour before we get started working again. But as I saw him rise over the hill, I realized that, and he was much younger back then, but he was literally caked in mud from about the waist down. And I asked him, what'd you do? And he said, well, I just really felt like I was supposed to go back and put those stays in for you. I knew how tired you were. He wasn't working another job aside from the fencing with me on the weekends. And he's like, I knew how tired you were, and I knew how difficult it is for you to trudge through the mud like that. And so I wanted to go back and take care of that for you. I won't lie to you, it brought tears to my eyes. That's how much this meant to me. It sounds silly to say. I mean, right now to you guys, you're like, yeah, whatever, what's a big deal? Well, if you've ever fenced, you'd know how big a deal this really is. But the truth of the matter is I brought tears to my eyes, and I hugged him, and I said, you know what, Gavin, thank you so much. Because I'll be honest with you, I was afraid at the end of the day when we went back to get into that swamp and put those stays in, that there was a better than not chance that if I got out there, I wouldn't get back in. So I said, why don't you go ahead and eat your lunch, and I'll continue to set the rest of the railroad ties from this point forward, and we'll come back and stretch some more wire. And that's what we did. Now I say that was such an act of selfishness. To some it may seem like a little thing. Even possibly Gavin, it might have felt like a little thing to go back and put in stays into a barbed wire fence. But to me, it made the biggest difference at that moment. Because what I needed was that weight and that burden of thinking about and having to worry about putting those stays in that fence lifted from my shoulders. And he did it. And it gave me hope and strength to continue on to finish out that job. We got done that evening. We're able to go home and be done with it. And I praise God for his selfishness at that. Now I want to talk to us about this morning. It's simply, if I can put it to you this way, taking whatever ability the Lord has given you to be a blessing to others. To be a blessing to others. Now some of you, for a moment, may sound like a little bit of review from yesterday morning, but here we go. I want to begin by reading verse 10 of our passage this morning. Verse 10 of our passage this morning says this: as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That is our theme verse for this year. This is the verse I want to start on this morning. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every man, let's start here, hath received. Talked about this already, but we're going to talk about it again. You have received of the Lord. You have the Spirit of God residing in you. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he indwells you. Therefore, he has equipped you and he has strengthened you, and you are equipped. You're ready to go now. You have received a gift. Now, the gift that you may have may be different than the gift that I have to exercise. The ultimate gift, obviously, is our salvation. The second greatest gift, the other gift is the Spirit himself. But then he also, this idea of gift means to be endowed with an ability. And so he has given us a gift. He has given us something that means something. Matter of fact, that word gift means charisma. It is the word charisma in the Greek, which simply means, if I can put it to you in layman's terms, a personal attractiveness or interest that can influence others. You have abilities that I don't have. Just like Gavin had the ability to trudge through that mud in that swamp and put those stays in much easier than I could have. I mean, even on a good day, if I went there fully energized, he would have been able to do it better than half his strength. But he had an ability, and you have an ability, and this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you right now. I have given you an ability. I've gifted you. I've given you some sort of charisma. And now you need to take that and use it to influence others. Now, I will say this. We understand how influence works, don't we? Influence can be positive or negative. Influences can be positive or negative. We see it all the time. As parents in particular, we watch that, and we watch people who come into our children's life, and we're like, oh man, they're just not a good influence on you. But there's other people who are like, you know what, they're a good influence. You hang out with them more. We like them. We can understand that in each other's lives too, can't we? You know, we see where somebody goes and takes a job that maybe the influences of that job or something that draws them further and further away from the Lord. Or maybe they go off and take a position somewhere else, or they move away, or whatever the case may be. I mean, I know that my heart is, one of the first questions I ask people, I'm like, did you find a fellowship? Did you find a church? Did you find a group of believers that you can fellowship with? So you can be not only edified by the word of God, Lord willing, that man, whatever man you're sitting under is teaching the word of God, but also so that you can help to be exhorted by the other believers and help to use your gift to exhort others. This is the thing that stood out to me the most as I was reading through this idea, is this, is you have a talent, use it. This is what he's telling you. I have gifted you. It's a positive thing. You have received that gift. So now minister it. And what he means by that ministering is simply just to what? To work it, to wait upon others, to use it. And this is the idea behind this. So now you have that gift, use it. Do something with it. Some of us sit around and go, yeah, but what is my gift? Well, I'll be honest with you. I got to go out and visit Brother Homer this last week. And I told him, honestly, one of the biggest influences he was in my life was the fact that he was faithful in service. Not because coming to church makes you a Christian. All right? Although I will hear excuses from people all the time about, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I agree, you don't. But most of them are actually making themselves their God. That's what they're doing. Because they don't want to come and listen to God. They want to make God whatever they want God to be. So I'm not going to go somewhere they're going to do what God is. Let's be honest. That's what it is. I mean, I have friends who are all about nature. Well, my church is out in the hills on Sunday mornings. Why? Do you stop and open the Word of God? No, I sit down and meditate and let the Lord speak to me. Oh, so you're trusting your heart. So in other words, you've become your God. Whatever God says to you in your mind is what's true. Anyway, I say that because here's the truth of the matter. This is what we got to run into here, guys. It's the idea here that God has given you a gift. He's brought you into a body so that you can use that gift to be a blessing to others. You don't just get to sit on your hands. What do? I have no talent. I can't do anything. I'm no good at anything. What is my talent? Well, I want to look at a story this morning about using whatever you might consider to be the smallest of things to be the greatest of gifts. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. You know, whatever your talent may be, I mean, as long as it's edifying the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as it's bringing people towards the Lord Jesus Christ, use those things. Use those things. He says these words to us in John chapter 6, verses 3 through 9. It says, and Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover at the feast of the Jews was nigh. You'll be familiar with this story. I still have pages, so I'll give you a second. John chapter 6, picking up now at verse 5. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every man, every one of them may take a little. We know other places they talk about sending them away so they can go find something to eat. And we know that the Lord's right here. He goes, and I love Philip's answer. Philip's answer is a lot like ours, isn't it? I don't have enough to do anything. We don't have enough to do something for the Lord. I'm just a little guy. You know, I'm not very educated. I'm not blah, 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 blah. You fill in the blank of every excuse you want to come up with. And this is what Philip's doing. Even if we had 200, if we had 200 penny money, if we had all the money, we couldn't afford to feed all these people. We can't do this. Well, you're right, you can't. But remember, who hath gifted you? And he goes on from that point, and he says these words. Read verse 7 to me, if you would now. Verse 8, he says, that one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, a young boy, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? I want to pause here for a second. You realize there's a lot happening right here, isn't there? Do I honestly believe that Andrew thought to himself, hey, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That should be feed everybody. No. No. It's like when you have a potluck, right? We always run out and get more food because we're afraid we're going to run out. And sometimes, you know, we've come close. I'm not going to lie. But you know what? The truth matters. I always tell Sean, I said, well, this isn't their last meal, and if it is, they're not going to be upset about it anyway. But the truth of the matter is this, is that I can imagine that as Andrew sat there, I don't think he thought to himself, well, I have 5, you know, this lad. And by the way, you ever thought about that young man? He was willing to give what? His 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, I honestly think that he thought to himself, even if all it feeds is Jesus Christ, that's enough. But he says, 5 loaves, 2 fish. What are we going to do with all that? And he's like, we can't do anything. And, you know, basically, I think he was kind of saying, you know, that's all we've got, you know? And the Lord, we know, is going to go on and do something miraculous from here. But here's the problem. It's just not enough, is it? And sometimes we think that to ourselves as well. I just don't have enough. I don't have enough time because we're selfish. Let's be honest, right? We all use our time the way we want to use it. We only want to be involved in the things that don't take us away from what we want to do. I don't have enough time. Or maybe I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough ability. I can't. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not whatever the case may be. And you come up with all sorts of good excuses. I don't know the Word of God well enough. Oh, really? Do you not have the ability to carry a book with you? I mean, there's so many resources out there that make it so you can be used of the Lord. But we're so often going, I can't, I can't, I can't. And I love the attitude of this young man. This young man's like, I got, here it is. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but good luck. This is the attitude that we should have. We're familiar with this idea of, I can't, I don't have enough. Lord, I'm not good enough, I can't afford it, I can't give enough, Lord, what do you, I mean, really, I can't find a place, Lord, where I can do more, I don't know how to be used, Lord, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. You fill in the blank. Excuses. Now, I'm not saying that every one of us is called to teach a class. I'm not saying that every one of us is called to you know, build a website. I'm not called but whatever talent you have that is not sinful, you know, like we talked about yesterday morning, if your talent is gossip, please don't use it. If your talent is division, please shut up. All right? Because that's not of the Lord. But, you know, if you have a talent, any sort of talent, then use it and allow the Lord to use it. Keep your finger here. I want to look at somebody else who wanted to come up with a bunch of excuses about being used, though, if I can put it to you that way. Turn me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. So keep your finger in John. We'll be right back there in a minute. Exodus chapter 4. And when you get to chapter 4, look at verses 1 through 12. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Now remember, I was going to kind of give you some backstory here. Moses is seeing the burning bush. He went up on the mount to see it. And God has told Moses, I want you to go down. I want you to set my people free from Egypt. And now we get to Moses' responses. Here we go. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. See, this right here, in case you're ever wondering, guys, that's why we're scared of snakes. Moses knew to be scared of snakes. If Eve would have known, we would have been a different story. Anyway, verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. And I'm going to tell you, that's also what tells me Moses had more faith than I did, because I don't know if I could put my hand on the tail. But that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into thy bosom, and he took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. He put his hand into his bosom again, plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of thy latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor sent. I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. So here's Moses making all sorts of excuses. I can't be used. Lord, they won't listen to me. I'm slow of speech. I have a lisp. They won't understand what I'm talking about. And I love the Lord's response. The Lord says, who made the mouth? If I've told you to do something, then do it. If I've gifted you with an ability, then use it. I didn't say you had to be eloquent. Matter of fact, I think part of our problem in the world is that we listen to those who are eloquent. Maybe every once in a while we should stop and listen to the dumb. Because I think sometimes the dumbs are the ones who can see clearly. The eloquent are the ones who are just trying to influence people to follow them. I'm not eloquent. And this is Moses giving excuses to God. And I love God's response. He said, hey, I made the mouth. And then I love that in verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So maybe your ability is simply to, maybe you're really good at, typing or writing up things or whatever the case may be. Maybe you need to find a ministry where you can help people fill out paperwork or whatever the case may be. I don't know. Maybe you're good at those things. You know, maybe you're good at understanding cell phones. Maybe you need to start a ministry helping the people who have to get cell phones because there's no other thing we can do nowadays because it's just impossible to find something that's not a, smartphones, right? Make you feel so dumb. Maybe you're good at them. Help somebody learn how to use them. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do. I don't know. The point of the matter is this. If God says, go and use your talent, I will bless it. I'm going to guide you, and I'm going to get you what you need to do. That's what I'm asking you. Will you just be willing to let me use you? That's one of the reasons why I love the prophet when the Lord comes and says, whom shall I send? And what does he say? He says, here I am, send me. Boy, what an easy response. And I know I've talked to you guys about this before, but how many of us walk by something and go, somebody really should do something about that? Guess who somebody might be? You. How many of you walk by trash on the sidewalk? I wish they would clean this city up. Okay. Why not you? I mean, how many of you walk by messed up chairs or you walk through the sanctuary after service and you see how people have made a mess because we're sheep and that's what we do. And we've made a mess, and how many of you are just willing to walk by and go, somebody else will take care of that. Somebody else's problem, not mine. I remember when I felt like I was called to the ministry. I think I've shared this with you guys before. When I felt like I was called to the ministry, I praised God that I went to the assistant pastor of the church I was at that time. I said to him, listen, I really feel like the Lord's calling me into the ministry. First of all, that's kind of a misnomer. We're all in the ministry, right? But I meant that full-time, you know, in a church staff kind of ministry, all right? And I said to him, I think I'm called to the ministry, and I praised God for him. You know what he did? He said, awesome, meet me here Saturday morning, 6 a.m. What? Okay. So I got up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Well, actually, I got up before 6 a.m. Got to be there at 6 a.m. Didn't want to be late for my first day on the job in the ministry. Okay, so I got up, went there, and you know what? I got inside. I was so excited. And I'm like, all right, man, now it's really, we're getting down to it. What are we going to do? We're probably going to get in some really deep Bible study. He can tell me how he wants me to be preaching next week. And, you know, I'm fired up. He comes out, and he's already there. He meets me, and he hands me a toilet plunger. Said, the women's bathroom's been clogged up for a week. Go take care of that. What? That's not ministry. But you know what? I didn't argue with them. I just took the toilet plunger and went and undid the women's toilet. So, and those things, if they don't flush, okay, guys? But the truth of the matter is this, is that I went and I did that, and I got that toilet clean. And I got that, so excited. Okay, finally, you know, he just needed me to do that. So I come back out. You know, it took me about half an hour, so I come back out, and hey, it's clear, it's flushing just fine. And it's like, good, go straighten out the rows in the sanctuary. What about the Bible study? What about the Word of God? And he kept me busy doing little things like that all day long. I worked from 6 a.m. to about 6 p.m. that night, went home. So excited, right? I was when I left. I came home, and Sean was like, so, what'd you guys do? I'm like, I plunged the toilet, straightened out rows, cleaned up after people. It was ridiculous. So I come in the next, you know, Sunday morning, and I'm excited about it. He's like, I'm going to see you next Saturday, Brian. I'm like, yes. And I did it for weeks on end like that. I mean, it's all these little tasks like that. And you know what I realized? He was teaching what the ministry is all about. The ministry is about doing what needs to be done. And if you have the ability to do it, do it. I mean, was I above plunging a toilet? No. Just because maybe I had some insight to the Word of God because the Lord had gifted me that way, did that mean that I couldn't plunge a toilet? No. so often we're like, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not eloquent. I'm not perfect. I'm not whatever. I'm good at this, blah, blah, blah. And we make all sorts of excuses for the Lord. I'm telling you right now, if you've been sitting around making an excuse for something the Lord has been placing upon your heart that you need to do, do it. And let him take care of it from there. Let him take care of the rest. I mean, can you imagine being Moses, going down into Egypt, knowing that Pharaoh would want your head because you had killed an Egyptian, and going to the people of Israel who rejected you as well? I mean, he had no friends there. He just was willing to go and let God use him. The Lord has made you to do what he wants you to do, and if he's made you to do it, he'll take care of the ability to do it. Just go do it. I told you to keep your finger in John, so turn back in John now. Let's continue on in this story. There's more to learn from this story. And picking up now at verse 10. So the lad has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. And verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So men sat down, and the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were sat down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled the 12 baskets, the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Listen to that. So the Lord takes this meager offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish. Feeds 5,000 men, at least there. Doesn't even mention the women and children that might have been around. He feeds everyone to their fill. If you've ever been around teenagers, in particular teenage boys, that's impressive. 5 loaves and 2 fish feed them to their fill. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And all he said is just take the meagerest of offerings.
Whatever you have to give, give, and I'll use it. And look what he does. Not only does he bless it and uses it in a great manner for a great thing, but he does it into an abundance. It went beyond where they imagined it could go. I think about even our dishcloths that we give out to our visitors that come and visit. And I praise God for that. And I praise God for the ministry and the ladies who contribute to that. You know we have no idea how far reaching those things are going. You ever think about that? Somebody's just driving through the area. We don't go, oh, you're not going to fellowship with us on a regular basis? Well, you can have one. We give it to them anyway. And then they drive off to wherever, probably somewhere warmer. And they talk about, hey, I stopped in Pocatello, Idaho, and visited this little church of believers. And they were just trying to please their Lord. They just loved each other, loved all the people who came in, and they gave me a dishcloth. I mean, what's a dishcloth? I mean, come on. Seriously, you think about a dishcloth, and why everything is not done around? I know there are countless number of hours. Well, some of you are so good, countless number of minutes to go in making those dishcloths. All right? But nonetheless, there's still effort that goes into it, but it's not really that big of a deal, is it? I mean, let's be honest. If the dishcloth something, how many of you ever wrote that down on your Christmas list? And you know what I really like? The dishcloth. But you know what I might do? And I'm going to be honest with you. I know there are people who come to this fellowship, and that's one of the things that they've commented about back to us. That dishcloth meant so much that you guys cared enough to give me something. That is just so awesome. I mean, take whatever you have and give it to the Lord, and he'll take it and he'll use it for great things and above and beyond even that. Above and beyond even that. Who knows, maybe somebody sitting, you know, back east somewhere that has a friend who's moved out there and has a dishcloth, says, oh, that's a beautiful dishcloth. Where'd you get that? Well, you know what? This is where I got it. I mean, have you ever thought about that? You have no idea how far it's reaching, where it's going to. We're so often limiting God by our own limitations. All God's asking us to do as believers is to what? Put forth what we have and let him do the rest. That's it. That's it. So, Jesus takes what's offered for the service, makes a great thing, and makes it not only great, but gives it in abundance. And back in our text now, if you would. Verse 10, I'm going to continue in verse 10. We're going to come back and look at some of this other text here in a moment. But in verse 10, we read this next. It says this, if we're willing to take what he's given us and we're willing to minister to others as good stewards, then what will happen? We'll see the manifold grace of God. If you do, you will show the manifold grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. Don't turn there. I'm familiar with you real quick. You guys are familiar with it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. We're familiar with this, aren't we? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Listen to those words. We are not saved by works, but if we are saved, we'll have works. And God has ordained works that you should walk in them. But you know what comes right before that verse? Verse 7, right? Listen to this. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You want to know one of the ways the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show his grace to this world? You. You're going to be a representation of the grace of God. It's one of the biggest frustrations I have with the modern evangelical churches that are out there. There's some that are so like, oh, we accept everything perfect. We're not going to try to get you to change. We're not going to get you to conform to the image of Christ. No, we're just, you know, whatever you say is good. They're the ones that are making themselves their gods. But then there's the other extreme, isn't there?
Here's the rules. Well, why don't we just look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says and allow him to conform us into his image? See, I don't want you to look like me. And I don't want to look like you. First of all, I'm better looking, right? I'm teasing, guys. But the truth matters this. I want to be the absolute best Brian the Lord can make. I don't want to be anybody else. I don't want to look like anybody else. I don't want to talk like anybody else. I don't want to necessarily even think like anybody else. Now, there are certain areas we're going to have overlapping, aren't we? Because the Word of God is our guide. So we're going to overlap a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, I want to be me. God has created me to be me. And he's created you to be you. And he wants you to be the absolute best you can be. And he's going to take you and he's going to conform you into his image. He's going to teach you things. And then he's going to use. I mean, if you know, you have a cut up personality, then fine. As long as you're not driving people away from the Lord Jesus Christ, okay. But if you're being rude enough that people are leaving the church because you're, you know, that person is just cruel. Or if, you know, whatever the case may be, the truth of the matter is this, is I want you to see that you need to be who Jesus Christ has made you to be today. And by the way, be who he's made you to be tomorrow. Don't go, well, until I get to where I'm supposed to be in my own image or in somebody else's image, I'm not going to be used of the Lord Jesus Christ. I plunge toilets. And now I'm preaching the Word of God. I mean, I'm not saying that my path is the best to take. Maybe he doesn't want you to plunge toilets. Maybe you show up and go, you know what? I really feel like I could probably work children's ministry. Well, let's try it. If after 2 weeks all your hair is gone from pulling it out, then we probably know that's not the word the Lord gifted you at. So we're going to move you into something different. But for those of you who have hair, I guess I should say. If it's down to the bone, then we'll really know. So, but you know, why don't you just try it? I feel like I could do this. This is something I feel like I could do. And you might think to yourself, well, how is that possibly going to be spiritual at all? Well, let me ask you how spiritual a dishcloth is. I mean, how many people sit there when they're using that dishcloth and, oh, I'm so close to the Lord right now? I could tell you, when I do dishes with those dishcloths that my wife makes at home, I'm like, Lord, keep me out of the flesh. I mean, but honestly, you don't know what the Lord can use it for. But just be used. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'd much rather be used in the menial of things and know that the Lord could take that and bless it beyond. You know, and I'm not necessarily touting the man or anything like that, but let's just think for a second here, for a second. How many of you would rather have been the man who shared the gospel with Billy Graham or be Billy Graham? I mean, you ever thought about it that way? How many of you know who shared the gospel with Billy Graham? I used to know the name, I don't anymore. You don't even know him, do you? But did you know everything that Billy Graham ever did and anybody who ever came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of Billy Graham gets accounted to his rewards too? And what did he do? Talk to one guy. Well, I'm sure he talked to more, but you know what I'm saying. Just get out there and be used. Now I want to back up in our text a little bit though, because here's the thing. We're going to show this amazing grace of God, the various aspects of the grace of God. And this grace can come through our willingness to offer to him whatever we have, no matter how meager we think it might be. Maybe all you have is a driver's license and a car that's economical. I know people who need rides to the store. Ever think about that? arrive to church. But I want to back up in our text now so we might understand how it is that we can go about this ministering. Because they're the key to this ministering. It gives us the ability to be able to minister in this manner. Verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." The first thing you want to be able to do, and the first thing you should be doing if you want to be used of the Lord Jesus Christ, is pray. Pray. And when you feel like you've prayed enough, pray some more. So many of us act like prayer is the last resort. It should be the first response. In any given situation, prayer should be the first response. And the prayer doesn't have to be this long sit down, you know, throw my hands up in the air and, you know, and sit in my closet or whatever. Prayer can be a simple thing. I mean, I think about Nehemiah before the king threw up a prayer real quick. Just, okay, I'm about to speak. Lord, speak through me. I mean, just, it's a quick thing. Somebody places something upon your heart. Now, if you got the time, stop. Pray with somebody. Perfect. But if you don't, somebody's placed upon your heart. Pray for them. Pray. The Lord's putting something upon your heart about something you should do. Pray. You know what's amazing to me is, I'll give you the example of this. Every time I drive by somebody who's holding a sign that says I'm hungry or I need this or I need that or whatever the case may be, you know, I pray. I'm like, Lord, did that person need that? Should I stop? Sometimes he tells me to stop. Sometimes he tells me not to. I go on by. But the truth of the matter is, I don't worry about it. I let the Lord take care of it. Well, what if they're going to take that money and use it for something unrighteous? Not my problem. My heart would ride in it. And this is the thing, and you know, I'll be honest, it's like I shared with you guys last week. If I'm doing what I know the Lord is calling me to do, I'm never going to feel guilty about it. No matter who comes against me on those things. And honestly, 90% of the people who come against me on those things, I examine their lives, and they're living for themselves or for the world. And so I'm like, well, you know, if you were a character with actually trying to please your Lord Jesus Christ and follow what his word says, then I might be concerned with what your thoughts about me are. Then I'd really examine those things. Pray. We far too often forget to pray. In the interest of time, I'm not going to turn us there, but you'll remember that, you remember the story of Hannah, don't you? Hannah, what did she do? She went to the temple and prayed, Lord, give me a child. Prayed. And you remember, what did the religious person who saw her think? Oh, she's drunk with wine. Woman, go home and drink in your own bedroom. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, there. All right? Kicked her away. Hey, go on. Kicked her off. Go do something different. This is the house of the Lord. How dare you come here drunk? Meanwhile, his sons are in the back drinking, but that's a whole other story. But this is what the religious man did, didn't he? Oh, you're not good enough. And isn't that what sometimes you get so worried about what other people in the church are going to think about you? Well, the Lord called me to do this. Well, I can't believe that God. Well, she prayed. And then you remember, she said, I'm not drunk. I'm just so sorrowful of heart that I'm just weeping out to and crying out to the Lord. And Eli goes, wow, Lord, I didn't even see that. Sorry. Repented. Sent her away, said, the Lord has granted you whatever you've asked. All she did was pray. She entered into the idea of what she wanted to be used of the Lord. How she wanted to be used of the Lord? Through prayer. Through prayer. Back in our text, though, we're still there. Verse 80 says that after we pray, that what above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Charity is love in action, by the way. Right? And by the way, sometimes the most charitable thing you can do for somebody is not do something for them. Did you hear me? Sometimes the most charitable thing you can do for somebody is not do something for them. Because sometimes they're their own worst enemy, they don't even know. I mean, I think about the upper class society and all these young brats that we hear about that have all this money and get in all sorts of trouble and the family and all these bailing them out, don't they? Think about that young man who killed that woman and fled out of country and family helped him to flee. That's not helping him. That's not being charitable to him. Well, one of the most charitable things sometimes you can do is not do something for somebody. But how are you going to know whether or not that's charitable for them? Prayer. For them, have charity among yourselves, fervent charity. That means to be with intent with your love. That's the idea. You have to intentionally love somebody. And there are some people that are really hard to love, aren't there? Let's be honest. There are some people that you go, wow, Lord, really? I think we should just not worry about that one. And he says, no, you need to be intentional in your love. That's fervent, intentional. You need to intentionally, you got to go out of your way to try to love that person. We get that. The Lord talked about that. It's easy to love those that love you. Really hard to love those that don't, isn't it? And he says, you got to intentionally love them. You've got intent in your heart. You got a fervent charity towards them. And for that charity shall what? Cover a multitude of sins. That love will cover a multitude of sins. It will be much easier for me to forgive somebody, move past what somebody has done against me or done against somebody else if I'm loving them. But if I'm bitter and holding it against them, I'm going to have a real hard time getting their sins covered by love, aren't I? Well, they're wrong. Exercise love. Have fervent love one to another with intent. Love covers a multitude of sins. Meaning that when we love, you will serve as well. When you love somebody, you will serve them. And here's the difference between what the world teaches and what the Word of God teaches. You ready for this? The Word of God does not believe in self-esteem. What? Nope. Matter of fact, I challenge you to find in here where God says, love yourself, take care of yourself, first be all about yourself. Matter of fact, find me somewhere here it says that it's all about self. Lifting yourself up, thinking yourself mightier than you are, being self, self, self. Nope. I guarantee you'll find it's about him and others. And you can actually be, you'll have the most confidence in yourself if you're actually loving the Lord Jesus Christ and loving others. I guarantee you. But I can see those who are insecure within themselves because they love themselves. That's the problem. And when they love themselves enough, nobody feels like they have to love them too because they love themselves enough. I mean, honestly, let's be honest. You've been around people who sit there and think nothing about themselves. They have the I problem whenever you talk to them. Me, my, I, me, what, ha, blah, blah, blah. They have, we get people who love themselves. And I'm not going to say we don't all love ourselves to a certain extent. We absolutely do. I mean, if I didn't love myself, I wouldn't feed myself. If I didn't love myself, I wouldn't breathe. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we all love ourselves to a certain extent, but I'm not trying to esteem myself better than others. Matter of fact, the Lord tells me the exact opposite. He tells me I should esteem others better than myself. There's a word esteem for you. Esteem others better than self. You mean I should want what is better for everybody else more than what I want is better for me? Yes. This is one of those concepts my son and I have been talking about a little bit. My wife and I talked about a little bit the other night at the store. He's been earning a little bit of money doing odd jobs. He mows some lawns throughout the summer, and then he shovels some different walks and stuff like that. And I praise God that he's getting working and earning his money that way and helping to contribute that way. But here was the crazy thing. The other night we went to the store and he came up and he had four different items that were all for him. Now, I'm not saying he has to buy for me. I'm not saying that. But I wondered to myself why it is that, and I worried a little bit about myself, that I never hear him go, I would like to take you and mom out for a drink. Go buy you a double shot or something. It's always, I want this movie, I need this, I want that. And now he's a teenager, and that's just what they do sometimes, unfortunately, right? But the truth of the matter is this, and so I'm like, I told him, I said, put everything back away, you're not allowed to spend your money that way. I'm still the boss. All right. But in all honesty, and I told her, I said, you know what? I couldn't put my finger on it. And then all of a sudden that night we were talking, I'm like, here's the thing that's bothering me. And I'm going to be honest with you. Why? Because I was literally in line behind a young man who was just trying to buy a phone card for one of those track phones. He had to travel back to San Francisco. That's where he's from. He'd come over here for the holidays or something. I'm not sure why. I think he brought his child over here so that he could see his mother. And he was trying to travel back to San Francisco. Actually, I know that's what he was doing. But anyway, he was trying to travel back to San Francisco. And he just wanted to buy a phone card so that he would have cell service on his way back. And the card was going to be $20 or $19 and some change. He had $16. I had been carrying around in the bill of my hat for some crazy reason a $5 bill for weeks on end. I have no idea why. I did then.
And this is what bothered me so much about it, because so many of us esteem ourselves. What do I want? It's about me first. Have you ever stopped taking yourself out of the equation and trying to figure out what's better for everybody else?
Can you imagine how poorly this church would run if myself and the board thought about what we wanted all the time instead of what was best for this church? What we want to spend money on? I mean, as a body, that's one of the reasons why we vote the way we do. We should be thinking about what's best for this body, not for us, shouldn't we? Even if it's not best for us, but it's better for everybody else. Take yourself out of that equation. You start to think about others. You minister to others. You will love others. And then when you love others, you're going to have hospitality towards one another without grudging. And here's the beautiful part about it. When you learn to really love others and serve others, you will have hospitality towards them, meaning be fond of them, and you'll do it without grudging, meaning you won't go, I wish I would have gotten my way. You're going to love others more than yourself. And you want what's best for others and not just what's best for yourself. Because whenever you put yourself first in the equation, you have become God in your mind. Oh no, I love my God, then I love me, and then I love others. No, you don't. You say it that way, but here's what you're really saying. I love my God, which is me, and I love me, which is me, and if I have enough left over, I'll think about other people. When you love others, you will not think of yourself first, but you'll think of others first. What is best for everyone else, not what's best for me. And how do I know this? Because this is what the Lord told us. He told us the exact thing. Turn to me to Luke chapter 22, and we'll close with this. Luke chapter 22. As you're turning there, I want to share one more thought with you before I get to Luke with you.
In verse 11 of our text this morning, he says this. He says that all that... Let him do it. So if any man minister, let him do it as his ability with God given. Do it the way God has given it to you. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom we praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I never want a ministry that's about me.
I want it to be about Jesus Christ. I want it to be about him. I want to glorify him. Luke chapter 22. Here we are right after the Lord's Supper. All right? So they had the Lord's Supper, Luke chapter 22, pick it up at verse 24 with me. This is what happens right after the Lord's Supper. Are you ready for this? And there also was strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. So in other words, let me just kind of tell you what he's saying right there. He's saying this, you don't want to seek for the greatest positions. That's not the way it should be for you. You shouldn't want to have people calling you Lord. He says it should not be so. But he, verse 26, that is greatest among you, let him be of the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater that he sitteth at meat, or whether or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat. But I am among you as he that serveth. The God of all the universe came as a servant. Who are you to think that you shouldn't be doing the same? Who are you to think that I'm so special and wonderful the world should bow down to me? When the God of all the universe, the God of all creation, came to serve.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.